Good morning. My name is Diana D. I'm a recovering debtor, and I'll be moderating this call. Welcome to the Debtors Anonymous Worldwide Fellowship Call, Experience Strength and Hope on Living the Life of Seventh Tradition. Today's call is sponsored by the Resource Development Committee of the World Service Conference, and the speakers will be recorded and posted to the DA website, but the sharing will not be recorded. All speakers have given their consent by participating to have the recordings uploaded to the DA website. Speakers, please do not mention personal info or ask the speakers for their personal info while the call is being recorded. Thank you. The mission of the Debtors Anonymous Resource Development Committee is to, 1, increase Seventh Tradition contributions and clarify the use of Seventh Tradition funds, 2, encourage member participation in service at all levels, and 3, increase awareness within the DA Fellowship about the importance of self-support in DA at the group, intergroup, and world service levels. Let's have a moment of silence for the debtor who still suffers. For all who can, please unmute yourself or mute your phone by pressing star 6 to say with me the we version of the Serenity Prayer. God. Grant us serenity
to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. And thank you for pressing star 6 to remute your phone. Today's call will be a bit unique. We'll go to the top of the hour, and we'll then see how our other speakers can join us. The structure involves a few readings, our fantastic guest speakers, and some time for open sharing and questions. Speakers will be recorded, as I've stated, and posted to the DA website. Thank you in advance for keeping your phone at star 6 to support the moderator of this call and minimize noise and disruption. The Seventh Tradition of Debtors Anonymous. Every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Fellow members of the DA Resource Development Committee acknowledge that there exists something intimidating and maybe even fearsome, self-critical, or uncertain about giving our time and self, whether it be through service of our personal efforts, skills, and are consciously giving money at the group, intergroup, or world level. We seek to support the counterintuitive notion of saying yes, not no to service, and to contributing at any and all levels in DA and in life as to support your recovery. We have a few selected readings from our DA-approved literature. The first is Diana B. on the line by chance? Okay. She is...
I can read. Thinking of...
Okay, Maureen, would you like to read the first section from our DA 12, 12, and 12, page 90?
I would love to. Thanks for your service. Mm-hmm. Page 90 from Seventh Tradition, 12, 12, 12. When we discontinue all use of unsecured debt, we become financially responsible, supporting our current needs with current income and assets. This self-support leads to self-respect and is rooted in faith in the Debtors Anonymous program, in a power greater than ourselves, and indeed gradually in ourselves. Out of gratitude for this transformation and for our meetings, we put money in the basket when it comes around or e-pay during the meeting. We also volunteer for service positions when they become available, keeping in mind that self-support isn't just about money. Spiritually, were we to accept gifts from outside DA, it would be far too easy to put our trust in the source of the gifts rather than in a higher power. In time, this could very well undermine our prudent practices as well as our spiritual orientation and cause the fellowship to lose its way. And there's a section from the DA Manual for Service. Do you want me to read that also?
Thank you, Maureen. Please go ahead.
Sure. Okay. Service to the fellowship is service to our higher power, to our fellows, and ultimately to ourselves. When we become willing to contribute, to give back, The God of our understanding meets us more than halfway. We begin to experience the freedom from fear of financial insecurity that is promised in DA. As our lives begin to change, we continue to give from a newfound sense of gratitude. And that's the end of the reading. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen, very much. Okay, checking in here. It looks like it's time now for our first speakers. Today's speakers each get to speak for up to 15 minutes on their experience, strength, and hope on living the seventh tradition and how it's improved, how it's wonderful in their life, and their experience of this. Is Chris S. our first speaker on the line yet? And I think Chris is a little delayed because of our time frame. Is this Diana?
Yes, it is. Mike will be on the call in 5. Sharon is on now, and Maureen is on now. So I
Great.
Guess we'll have to
look
around the order, but there you go.
Yeah, thanks so much, Diana. All right, so let's redo the reverse order from today's idea. Sharon, would you be our first speaker, and how would you like your time? Sharon S. Oh, let me make sure. Sharon, are you star 6 maybe?
Hi,
maybe?
Sorry. Is there any way Maureen could go first? Is that
of
possible?
Of course.
I
of course.
Got the time
Maureen.
Wrong, and I'm...
Nope,
is that okay?
I got the time. Of course. Maureen, would you be willing to be our first speaker today?
I would love to be. Thank you.
Thank you. And how would you like your time, Maureen?
How much do I get? 15 minutes?
Up to 15 minutes? Sure.
Sure, a 5 and a 1 is good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Diana D. For your service, thank you to RDC. Thank you for everybody to put this on. It sounds like, I don't know, it seems like the e-news set out 1 o'clock and then 2 o'clock. So anyway, I'm happy to do whatever makes this work. And so I love the seventh tradition, and I wrote down some notes, like just how much I benefited from DA and all the resources that are generated by when people put money in the basket or e-pay. And I'll just say right now, for my seventh tradition, I just give money to World Service. I have bank, it's an automatic payment from my bank every month to the General Service Office. And I do that because I think that this is just my opinion, that the World Service Office carries the message to all the newcomers and all the people overall. And I live in New York City, and when I was going to live meetings, oftentimes the rents are so high that nothing ever got sent to World Service. Or I'm on Zoom meetings, and the money all goes to the GSR. And so I just want to make sure that my money goes to, certainly if I'm at a live meeting, which I haven't been to in a while, but I would put money in the basket. But I always give to World Service because I just have such admiration for how committed DA is to really providing such great information about how to recover from compulsive debting. So even just this morning, it's like I texted a bunch of people that I met in the program, either from going to meetings, which I knew about because of the website, or meeting lists, old-fashioned meeting lists, when I got solvent in Burlington, Vermont. And I always like to say what my definition of solvency is. I'm solvent today 5 things. 1, if I haven't used a credit card, I haven't bounced a check, I've paid my bills on time, I've paid for goods and services at the time of use, and I haven't borrowed anything without collateral. So the people that I texted or talked to today, I met either at a meeting, which I knew about through the meeting list, or through service, which I've been a GSR, you know, I've been on the board, I've done lots of different things. Right now I have this longstanding service commitment of being the host committee for the World Service, which is supposed to be has been in New York City for a couple of years, and maybe it will be in 2 years. So I can't say enough about giving service. I went to a meeting online. I looked up a meeting. It was in Washington, D.C. I went to the website. It was actually in Virginia. But it was it's an in-person meeting, but I asked the chairperson, who I knew from another meeting, if I could call in. So I got to go to a meeting and got familiar with the website. As I said, I use the service of contributing online. There's just the technology has increased so incredibly since I was on the board. I think I was an ACM on the finance committee, like even 15 years ago, you know, we just kind of talked about it like this thing in the space fantasy movie, you know, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to have digital literature? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to contribute online? So another thing I read, you know, I have the book, I was reading the Seven Tradition over and over, and then I went it. Brought it up on my Kindle on my laptop, which is just amazing. And then we have the 2020 version of all the pamphlets now, which is just so great for $9.99. You have every single pamphlet. It's incredible. I'm leading a workshop now. We're studying the concepts, the BDA tools, and the traditions. And again, it's like it's just so nice to have all that literature. I like to have it in person, and I like to have it digitally. What else? I was asked by, there's a newsletter, the New York City Intergroup has a newsletter, which Yarrow is the editor, and they're having an issue on in memoriam, people in DA who have passed away, and someone asked me to write an article about Jan F., who many people know. But so I'm just had asked a couple of different people if they wanted to contribute to that article. So it just always makes me happy. And again, it's like I met people, I've asked Alan and Willie, people that I knew from being on the board, people I knew from Jan. DA is really a very small community, actually. And I think if you do service, like it suggests in the Seven Tradition, it's just so easy to meet people that I might not even have talked to in 5 years, but you just always have that bond, I think, of loving DA. And having done service together, what else? I just, like, I reconciled my own bank statements. You know, I tend to do that every day. I need to keep track of my income and expenses. And just throughout things, like, I walked my dogs. I live near Central Park. It was, like, a beautiful morning to walk my dogs. All of this really would not have happened for DA. I mean, I was living, I always say, in a little condo in Burlington, Vermont that had a nursing home next door, and I just assumed I would just go to the nursing home, and within a year and a half of DA, I was like living in a whole different city. I let someone do service for me. You know, I just kind of got mad at this meeting I was going to, and I was complaining, and she said, well, is there anything that you do like about the meeting? And I'm like, of course, you know, so I can't just give service. I have to let other people give service to me. Otherwise, I feel like I'm some kind of expert on DA, which, of course, I'm not. What else? I got a call from someone I did service with. She's going to be in the city, and maybe we'll get together this evening. That's always like a really nice thing. One of the things I was reading about is there's a pamphlet, because the AA literature is also DA conference approved literature. There's a pamphlet called AA Tradition, How It Developed by Bill W. And I was reading what Bill said about Tradition 7. I'm just going to read parts of a paragraph. And I think it talks about accepting outside donations and how that's bad, because what's the phrase about the piper calls the tune, you know, like they may be telling us. It also says in the literature about if we pay standard rent rates, which I think churches kind of give us kind of a discount. But when I was in California, one of the hospitals did not want rent, but we still made a donation. Like, as debtors, we need to pay our own way and also have good relationships with the institutions that we deal with. But so this paragraph that Bill wrote on page 30 in this pamphlet says, it is with the deepest gratitude and satisfaction that I can now tell you of a recent resolution passed by the overall service committee, the trustees who are the custodians of our national AA funds. As a matter of policy, they have just got on the record that they will decline all gifts carrying the slightest obligation expressed or implied, and further that the Alcoholic Foundation will accept no earnings which may be tendered from any commercial source. As most readers know, we've been approached by late of several motion picture concerns about the possibility of an AA film. Naturally, money has been discussed, but our trustees very rightly, I think, take the position that AA has nothing to sell, that we all wish to avoid even the suggestion of commerce, and that in any case, AA, generally speaking, is now self-supporting. And this is such, I mean, I just am, like, impressed by 12-step programs over and over and over that we're self-supporting as an organization, just supported by debtors. I mean, you know, other people can buy our literature, maybe professionals do, or doctors or lawyers or bankruptcy judges or whatever, but for the most part, DA is supported by literature sales and groups, you know, donating and individuals donating. And I went to the World Service Conference, well, the Zoom one, last year, and just looking at the financials, which were presented by the treasurer, that, you know, a lot of groups couldn't donate as much because they were shut down, but individuals stepped up, like, and more than even compensated. So I'm sure on RDC they're talking about that. What else do I want to talk about? This is a long time for people to talk about. It just says at the beginning in the reading, we become financially responsible, and this self-support leads to self-respect. I think that's huge. I was always embarrassed. I was afraid I was going to bounce a check. I'd go to the grocery store and not even know how much was in my checking account and just kind of guessed how much I could pay. And now I don't have to live like that. You know, as I said, I reconcile my accounts. I know how much is in my accounts. I have a spending plan. I was going to take my dog to the groomer today. I already have the money set aside. If I want to go out to dinner with my friend tonight, I can. I just got my boots repaired. You know, I'm studying the BDA tools, and we just studied the one about it's better to repair things than buy new ones because it's so easy to get, you know, the bells and the whistles of the world, you know, are noisy to me sometimes. And it's like, just be happy with what I have and take good care of the things that I do have. Let me see what else I want to say. I'm just looking at the book here about the prudent reserve. The group does not retain XX funds. You know, it's like we're not trying to get rich here. And, you know, that the goal of the seven tradition is to carry the message to other compulsive debtors, which I think DA does so beautifully. And I think our literature is fantastic. I think our website is fantastic. I think all the people I've met in DA, I mean, you know, I can't say everybody loves me. And, you know, my friend who's going to be speaking later says that if you like everybody in DA, you're not going to enough meetings. If everybody likes you, you're not doing enough service. And I think that's true, that I need to work the traditions and the concepts I love. We're studying concept 6, which talks about sometimes it's just not the right time to do things. You know, people might put money in the basket or vote for something at World Service Conference, but if it's not the right time, the board gets to decide. We don't have the personality, we don't have the expertise, we don't have the funds. Like, you know, we have to wait. And that can certainly apply to my own business and my own personal life, to just kind of trust, like, it's supposed to come when it's supposed to come. So
5 minutes remain.
5 minutes. Let me see. It talks about spiritual orientation. I need to be working the steps. Certainly the traditions and the concepts are great, but I need to be doing, you know, my 10th step, my 11th step, you know, because if I don't and go to a lot of meetings, I do start thinking that I, like, know something, or I have to do it on my own, or, you know, that material things. There's a pamphlet, the awareness pamphlet, that I love, that just says we can start thinking that material things are the source of our satisfaction and not our higher power. And, you know, I've been working this BDA tool group, and lo and behold, I am making more money and I'm getting more clients. And, you know, Jan used to say, it's like, it's about the money, but it's not about the money. It's like, I do have more money and I do have people calling me for work. And it's like, I don't know if I want to work this hard. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even know. It's like, what do I, you know, I have prudent reserves. I have some retirement, none of which I had when I got in here. And it's like, sometimes maybe I just want some downtime, you know, and that's okay too. So let me see if I have anything else. I don't think I have anything else to say. I, you know, I'm happy to speak again if people want to do it at 2 o'clock. So those people might be coming at 2. But whatever the group wants to do, I'm happy to do. And I'm looking forward to hearing the other speakers. Thank you very much.
Maureen C., thank you so much for starting us off with such a rich share. We so appreciate you and all who are on the line today. I think, yep, we'll stick with what the flyer says is one. Our next caller up is Sharon S. Sharon, how would you like your time?
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much for your service. How about if you give me, like, at 7 minutes, and then it's 15, did you say?
Yeah, up to 15, sure.
Mm-hmm. Up to 15. Okay, how about 7, and then it's 7, and then when I have a minute left, that would be perfect.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sharon.
Ah, thank you so much. Yeah, I guess a couple different times were on the flyer, and thank you, Maureen, for being willing to go first, because I was able to pull up the 12, 12, and 12 on my phone because I'm out. I thought I had extra time to get back and be relaxed and be sitting in my house. But, you know, this is how it goes sometimes, and you hopefully can roll with the punches, and hopefully my dog won't bark. But my name is Sharon. I'm a compulsive dieter, and I am really grateful to be on the call today and grateful for everyone being of service. And I love the seventh tradition. I love being in DA. DA is the program that really saved my life. And I want to spend, I think, hopefully about half of the time talking about money and the other half talking about service, because Tradition 7 says every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And, you know, people think it really is just about money, and it isn't. It's also about service. And in fact, on page 91 of our 12, 12, and 12, Tradition 7, it says, similarly, to ensure DA continues to be available to us and others, in addition to our monetary giving, we contribute to DA through service. Our time and energy make a difference in carrying the message to the still suffering compulsive debtor and maintaining a healthy program for existing members. If a member's spending plan has little room for seventh tradition contributions, the member might consider stepping up his or her service work. So it's, you know, seventh tradition I like to look at as broadly encompassing not just financial resources and contributions, but also service contributions. And what better place in DA to be when we're talking about this stuff? I came in through another program 41 years ago, and I couldn't believe that they would be asking for for contributions. They would pass the basket. And back then, like, it was standard to give a dollar, you know, for the rent. And then, I mean, it was 1980, so it was a while ago, but you give a dollar for the rent. Maybe if they have a GSR, ISR fund, that you give a dollar for that, whatever. But, you know, and times have changed, but, and rents have changed. And, you know, I always wondered, like, wow, but everyone is welcome. And that's what's really, really important about all 12-step programs, is everyone is welcome regardless of one's ability to contribute financially. So that's always a good thing to know. And I really believe that is a true intention of all 12-step programs. I mean, I've been in meetings in certain places where they just keep passing the basket around until the rent is made, you know, and people just say, okay, I'm going to give another dollar, whatever it is, $2. They say, oh, we need 34 more dollars, you know, in some cities where rent is really expensive. And then other cities, I mean, I know where I live now, it's like so reasonable. And, you know, we usually would make our rent on our first meeting. But it is what it is, you know, depending on where we are. And as the previous speaker mentioned, with Zoom, it's almost kind of a, well, our Zoom is $15 a month, you know, so how much do we really need to contribute? But anyway, the point is when I came into my first program, they were not shy about asking for contributions and, you know, donations, contributions. People would say, give as if your life depends on it, because it does. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess they're right. Give not until it hurts, but only until it feels good. And I think that one still is very appropriate in DA. Like, give a little, you know, give if you can. And then what happens in DA a lot is people say, oh, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to even give a dollar. I don't have enough to give change. I don't have enough to give anything. And I think that scarcity thinking, sometimes maybe you don't have enough. If you can't pay your rent, then, you know, maybe you don't give to the seventh tradition at that moment, but maybe you do service. Maybe you put away the chairs. You know, I think it's tough in DA because I think whether or not we have resources, we might not think we do. But what I heard in the other fellowship, because there were people of all different stripes in other fellowships as well, you know, that felt like they just, that it shouldn't be that you're asked to give anything. But what I've heard, and I do believe it's true, it's like there might be 100 people living in a house and only 10% are paying rent. And it's like, wow, I didn't really look at it like that. Now I do. I mean, I heard that early on. And, you know, one of the interesting thoughts that had been talked about on RDC this year was finding out how many groups give and how many groups don't. And that's kind of an impossible thing to do because we don't know exactly how many groups there are. And we also used to post how many groups by name and number, by name and group number, when I first started in 2013 as a GSR at the Phoenix World Service Conference. They posted every group and what they gave. And I had a problem with that personally because I was like, wow. You know, just as we don't want outside contributions, you know, and I think the phrase that someone else mentioned in the AA 12 and 12 is whoever pays the piper is apt to call the tune. And that's true. So it made me wonder, like, wow, I don't know whether groups that had nothing and gave nothing would be feeling shamed about that or ashamed or, you know, and I don't think that was the intention. But I don't know if it was that conference or the conference after that or a subsequent conference that they decided not to print those amounts, which I think was personally, I think, was a really good call. The other thing is I remember on an alumni call, you know, you get a lot of these calls from places that you've gone to school, perhaps, where they say, oh, you know, can you give? And I always felt like I wouldn't be giving enough. So I really didn't want to give. And what they said was, you know what? We don't really care what, oh, thank you. Thanks, Diana. We don't really care what you give. We're more interested in how many people give. And I said, oh, I can do that. Well, I can give X amount. So it's not necessarily, like, framing it is a little bit different. And one of the things that the RDC has is the 777. Give $7 on the seventh day of, I think it's the seventh month, but it's every month, $7. I don't know, whatever. I give $7 a month in addition to my other contributions that I'm able to make within my spending plan. And there's no, you know, that is a great thing. And that's what, like a couple copies that I don't have, you know, a month. So it's not a question of how much you're giving, and it would be really nice. And if a lot of people did that, even if it was a dollar a month, that would be pretty amazing, you know. And we've done things like, wow, if every group gave $5 a month, DA would be, you know, in good shape. And we are in good shape, so we don't want to say that because the, you know, we are in really good shape financially, actually. And the other thing is, in our seventh tradition, it says, above a prudent reserve, which is typically equal to 3 months' expenses, the group does not retain excess funds. And I just want to say that we follow the General Service Board has 9 months of prudent reserve. And we found out about that from asking other groups what they have. And we are in a position to have that. Now, we always haven't been in a position to have 9 months of prudent reserve. So I think we have to be really careful as debtors. I mean, what better opportunity to look at ourselves and our relationship to money on our individual level, but also in a group level and how we conduct ourselves at business meetings and how we, you know, how we move around with discussions of money. And, you know, I know people, I mean, I remember being a GSR and thinking to myself, oh, I don't want to give the rest of the money because I was a GSR for 3 years. Like, I wanted to keep whatever we had and not donate it or not contribute it to the general service office or, you know, the intergroup or whatever. I was like, oh, we have a little extra. I want to keep that towards next year. And that isn't what we do in DA. We trust that higher power is going to provide whatever we need. And then sometimes as a debtor, it's really hard for me to do that. You know, but I keep working on it, and being in DA gives me all these wonderful opportunities. So I want to segue now into service, and I should have read the paragraph I read earlier now, but I didn't. So, you know, but what it said was, if a member spending plan has little room for seventh tradition contributions, the member might consider stepping up his or her service work. And I have to tell you that
I've been on the board, it's my sixth year, and it has been the most intense, but also the most rewarding thing I've ever done. And there have been so many times when I've just wanted to quit. It's been really intense emotionally to do this work and being of service to the fellowship as a whole. And I thought, oh, my DA program is really going to be stepped up. No, it wasn't my DA program. It's working with others that has been challenged and improved, actually. And if I had it to do over again, if I knew what I knew, that I would be having the experience that I've had, then I don't know if I would have done it. But now, looking kind of in the rearview mirror, I would do it all over again. Absolutely, 100%. Giving back to the fellowship that saved my life, there's just nothing better. There is nothing better. When I connect, and I can't connect with everybody, but what I do, when I connect with someone that manifests the disease of debting, and it is a disease, in my opinion, or I mean, it is for me, there is nothing better than just like I am locked into that person and their disease, and I say, yes, there is hope here. Yes, there is hope in recovering from compulsive debting. Now, in a way, I think DA has gone a little off the rails in terms of, I mean, this is a disease. The primary purpose of DA is to not incur new unsecured debt, period, full stop. You know, anything else is a gift. You know, it's not part of, you know, maybe it's part of DA, but, you know, abundance, prosperity, business building, becoming famous, rich, any of that, it doesn't, you know, it's not about that from the way I read the DA literature. It's a spiritual program with a spiritual solution. And when I can spread the message of hope and recovery in DA with another debtor, that, you know, this is really what I hope I can do, you know. And I'll be rotating off soon, but, you know, it has been such a privilege to do this work. So if you are in DA and you don't feel like you have anything to give financially, and you might not, and I have made that recommendation to members of people, you know, people that are, I've done PRGs for, you know what, you can't give right now. You can't tithe to your church right now. You can't give to DA. You can't give to the other fellowships that you're in right now, because you've got to right your own ship before you can start giving to others. And that's all we can do. But if you can do some service, like even as much as, you know, when you were in the room, putting the chairs away, making the coffee, doing whatever needs to be done to help have the meeting flow, be the secretary for a meeting, you know, eventually maybe be a GSR. There are so many service opportunities that are available to be a part of the solution in DA. So if you don't feel like you can give financially, even if you can't give a dollar, give 50 cents. And I know people that have given 50 cents. And at least you're participating in paying part of the rent, you know, because if we have a seat at the table, eventually we should be paying our fair share, which we do want to do when we are in DA. And Diana, I don't know how much time I have left, but
a minute now. You're a minute?
A minute. Perfect timing. All right. So I just want to read one last thing. Okay. And this is the last paragraph of Tradition 7 in our book. In DA, we learn that there is no conflict between money and spirituality, or between the expenditure of our time and energy and spirituality. In fact, they are linked. When our financial decisions and service commitments are informed by our spiritual practice, when we practice these principles in all our affairs, our individual recovery and the financial and spiritual health of our groups are continuously strengthened, as is our relationship with a power greater than ourselves. When we act out of trust and gratitude by making monetary contributions and donating our time to take care of the business of DA, we help keep the doors of Debtors Anonymous open for ourselves and for the next debtor seeking a better way. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, everyone, for being of service, and I will pass.
Karen S., Thank you so much for your experience, strength, and hope. We've just, Maureen and Sharon, you two have just continued to be such abundant speakers for us today. Our third speaker is Mike L. Mike, are you on the line? You might need to press star six. Calling for Mike L. I know you were on the call. I know that you had to juggle time as well. And if Mike's not on the line, is Chris S. on the line? I hear Chris might be on the line now because of my kerfuffle.
This is Chris.
Chris S., would you be willing? We can. Would you be willing to be our third speaker?
You bet.
Great,
Chris. Charm, right?
All right, Chris S., third time. And how would you like your time, Chris?
Hello. I'm sorry.
Mike, we couldn't hear you, so we moved to Chris.
I know, I was trying to unmute.
Oh, sorry. Can you be our fourth speaker, Mike? Does that work for you?
I sure can. It works.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Chris
Thank you.
S., how would you like your time, Chris?
I think a 7-minute warning and then a 1 minute.
Oh, wonderful. I can do that. Thanks, Chris S.
You're welcome. All right. So, hello. My name is Chris, and I'm a compulsive debtor, and I have not incurred unsecured debt since April 26th of 2000. And I was asked to share today on Tradition 7. And I'll tell you a bit of my DA story and my thoughts about Seventh Tradition. And I've often heard it stated about the Seventh Tradition that we give the three T's in other programs, talent, time, and treasure, and all of which I joyfully give to DA. Sharon mentioned earlier that DA saved her life, and I second that. I don't know that I would be here now today if it wasn't for the program of Debtors Anonymous. I'm going to concentrate on the money side, and I was trusting that someone was going to speak to service, and thank you, Sharon, she did. But the money piece for me, though I give service joyfully, as I said, the money piece for me is really big, obviously, because I'm Debtors Anonymous, and particularly what I think is one of the heart causes of this disease is the fear of not enough. I'm concentrating on money and specifically about giving back to DA through our financial support because I always believe and have always believed and really feel strongly about this tradition of being self-supporting for myself, which is what DA taught me, and to ensure that DA is here for the still suffering debtor. So I came to DA with a belief system that there was never enough. This belief was internalized from my family life growing up. I have 12 siblings. That makes me number 13. And we were constantly competing for attention and love and, yes, sometimes even food. I never went hungry, but the sense of lack and needing to get what I wanted before someone else took it was ingrained. I had to get what I wanted before it was gone, and it was a concept that had played out throughout my life before I was in DA. I believe there was not enough time, not enough money, not enough attention, not enough love, and definitely, definitely not enough money. As I held a belief system based on lack, I recreated that lack over and over again in my life. The more I tried to hoard money by denying my needs and failing to practice self-care, there was not enough. Such denial would inevitably lead to a binge in which I spent and spent for such things as clothes and shoes, going as far as failing to pay expenses for heat, water, phone, and on and on. And I had a lot of stuff. But once again, through not practicing true self-care, there was not enough. I ensured that. This denial and binge process continued to certain degrees throughout my life. I was smart and hardworking and actually very good at earning money, but was unwilling and unable to take care and value myself. And I wasn't fully self-supporting by my through my contributions. I would spend or debt away any prosperity to bring myself back to where I was most comfortable, in deprivation. What was missing in my life was a trust in a higher power as the source of joy, abundance, love, and yes, even money in my life. Before DA, I couldn't conceive that keeping my numbers and having a spending plan brought not lack and constriction, but freedom and abundance. I experienced my first spiritual awakening in this program with the realization there is enough. I also experienced that awakening in the sense that I was enough. My DA members were able to see me with love and understanding, reflecting my higher power's love for me, and it transformed me. Now, promise 1 and 2 came true for me, and especially promise 3. We live within our means, yet our means will not define us. I had more money with boundaries than I ever had when I willfully avoided clarity. I began to understand my part in the spiritual equation of prosperity. I recognized that higher power was my source, but that I have my part to play. That is my job to care for and value myself by accepting, receiving the gifts of the higher power sends to me, including money, and by being a good steward of that money. The way it makes sense to me is that higher power or the universe or whatever you want to call it is limitless. And that money is just one form of energy, like light or wind. It comes to us, and it goes through us, and it proceeds from us. Hoarding money through fear and trying to stop the flow goes against the cycle. I need to trust my higher power is my source. The cycle of money coming and going and coming again never ceases. Higher power through DA taught me to care for and value myself with a spending plan, a prudent reserve, and other forms of financial responsibility. I live an abundant life, and especially in relation to money. And the promises 4, we will begin to live a prosperous life unencumbered by fear, worry, resentment, or debt. 5, I will realize that I am enough. I will value myself and my contributions. 10,
1 minute, 7 minutes.
We will no longer fear the truth. We will move from hiding in denial to living in reality. 11, honesty will guide our actions towards rich life filled with meaning and purpose. 12, we will recognize a power greater than ourselves as the source of our abundance, and we will ask for help and guidance and have faith will come. And especially 7. Promise 7 is tied to tradition 7. We will recognize that there is enough. Our resources will be generous, and we will share them with others and with DA. I give back to DA what I have so generously received. I live a life of abundance with enough of love, time, joy, and money. And I believe the practice of the 7th tradition is a spiritual practice. The tradition is my continually, The tradition is my continual and ongoing acknowledgement that higher power is the source. I gladly give to DA, but it is not a linear intent. If I give, I give it in a circular way. I know and trust I will be cared for by my higher power in all ways, including financially. I don't give to get back. I give because I know my higher power has got this. I give to my group. I give $10 a week to my group. It is beyond the suggested offering, but I have abundance and I want to share it with DA. And I don't think it really matters what that number is, because it's all just energy, and the point of it all is just to keep the flow. I also give to my monthly intergroup, and I also send a monthly contribution to the DA World Service. These are but small tokens to the gratitude I feel for DA and to higher power for the joy and prosperity I experience every day. That's it, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris S., for your heartfelt preparation and experience, strength, and hope on Seventh Tradition. Our final speaker, which will round us out today, is Mike L. Mike, how would you like your time?
Just tell me when I've got 5 minutes left.
Thank you, Mike. You got it.
Thank you. My name is Mike. I'm a compulsive debtor. I have a decade in Debtors Anonymous and almost 3 decades as a member of the Granddaddy Fellowship, and have been during that time a participant in countless meetings regarding the traditions. Of course, the traditions were originally developed by Alcoholics Anonymous, were passed on to our fellowship along with the steps. And in most of those meetings, the pattern that I've observed is the same. And I'm glad to see that so far this one is not. In so many traditions meetings, newcomers are bored to death, wondering what the traditions have to do with their recovery. Whereas many longtime members don't have much to say and instead resort to a philosophical discussion about the meaning of the various traditions, so almost lecture-like, like a college classroom. I'm glad to see the people before me have avoided those traps, and I'm going to try to do the same thing here, avoid both the boredom and the professorial role. And I plan to do so by focusing on my life and the role that the traditions and the principles underlying them have played in my life and recovery. I've heard it said many times that the steps keep us from committing suicide and the traditions keep us from committing homicide. And perhaps there is some truth to that saying. But I have found that the steps and the traditions in my life go hand in hand. They go hand in hand in my recovery from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body that we call compulsive debting. This is particularly true of Tradition 7, because so much of the tradition involves my relationship and, of course, our fellowship's relationship with money. What exactly do the traditions have to do with my personal recovery? Well, I have to admit, whether I want to or not, that my compulsive debting affects more than just me. It tries to destroy my relationship, all my relationships, with my wife, with my kids, with my broader family, with everyone in my working world, with society at large. It does its dead level best to destroy my relationship with God. Left unchecked, it will destroy my relationships with the very fellowship that saved my life. The principles underlying the traditions give me a set of tools to restore and strengthen all of those relationships. And just a couple examples. In my marriage, our common welfare must come first. Without unity in the marriage, the relationship is destroyed. In that relationship, neither of us can exercise authority over the other. We don't govern each other. We serve each other. Between us, as between us, there can only be one authority, the loving God of our understanding. When we let him express himself in the day-to-day aspects of our relationship, the relationship thrives. When we choose not to let him, unity fails, disunity thrives, and the relationship founders. We can have only one primary purpose in our marriage, to love each other as best we can. And when I forget that, and I have done so at times almost catastrophically, and when I get focused on myself rather than on loving her, the relationship is in real trouble. In fact, Linda says often that the single most important aspect of our relationship is my membership in my recovery fellowships. And I think that's true, because when I am in recovery, I remember my primary purpose. And recovery, therefore, makes my relationships possible. To continue with another example, within my family, there are wildly divergent ideas about politics and public policy, economics, theology, philosophy, and many other outside issues. My son and I are on wildly different areas of the spectrum on all of those. And we discuss them, but we refuse to allow those differing opinions on those outside issues to drive a wedge in our love for one another and our willingness to be of service to one. And I can continue on with these examples of the principles underlying the traditions, even anonymity. Lynn and I have been married for a very long time now, and we settled into certain roles. For example, she generally does the grocery shopping. I generally do the laundry, but we don't personalize those roles. And when we do, it tends to be a negative. You haven't done the laundry. You haven't done the grocery shopping. We avoid doing that. Groceries need to be purchased. They are. The laundry needs to be done. It is. Bills need to be paid. They are. The bed needs to be made. It is. Neither of us gets individual credit for those things. Instead, we get them done. And then I turn to tradition 7. Although the tradition comes from Alcoholics Anonymous, it seems particularly crafted for those of us who suffer from the condition known as compulsive debting. At its core, my condition of compulsive debting exhibits itself by my unwillingness to be self-sustaining through my own contributions. What's yours is mine, at least to use or borrow, in order to sustain myself. If I don't have enough to sustain myself, I'll borrow it. If only I'd hit the lottery or find some patron to support me, I'd have enough to provide myself sustenance. Maybe my employer should pay me more than we agreed. Perhaps I should find better clients. Then I could sustain myself. Somehow it's not my fault, it's yours, that I can't sustain myself based on what I've produced. Again, you're the reason. A sure sign that I am in recovery from compulsive debting is that I become self-supporting through my own contributions. Similarly, our relationship, our marriage, our family, we become self-supporting through our own contributions. And the same applies to Debtors Anonymous. A healthy Debtors Anonymous is self-sustaining exclusively through the contributions of its members. We, the members of Debtors Anonymous, provide the financial wherewithal for the fellowship to function on a worldwide basis, and we provide the labor, the service, to carry the message of recovery. At the group level, we pay our expenses, rent for a meeting space, plus covering the expenses for our delegates to world service, are typically the largest group expenses. But at fellowship level, we provide, again, the financial wherewithal and the labor necessary to produce our literature, support the groups, convene the conference, comply with legal requirements, and otherwise carry the message of recovery. Now, sometimes those services can't be provided by members, and we require professional assistance, such as editors for publication, attorneys, accountants, a parliamentarian, when we look outside for professional assistance, the membership provides the funds to pay for those professional services. In that vein, we hear many rationalizations in our own lives, in my life, and in the life of the fellowship for stretching the bounds of what constitutes self-sustenance for violating the seventh tradition. If only we had more money, the fellowship could produce more and better literature. If only we had more money, we could reach more suffering debtors and bring them to recovery. With more money, we could hire more staff for the general service office. The group could get a nicer meeting place or have more meetings if only there was more money. We could expand our international outreach, translate our literature into multiple languages, establish general service offices around the globe, but we need more money. More money would allow our public information campaigns to expand and become more effective. I could go on all day. I've heard all these rationalizations, and I've made many of them myself.
5 minutes
but those Thank you. But those rationalizations, to the extent that we begin to rely on income beyond our own contributions, or we focus on raising more income for the fellowship, ultimately lead to disaster in the same way that my refusal to live within my own means leads me to utter despair and to the brink of suicide. I see the creep towards acceptance of those rationalizations regularly in DA at both the fellowship and the group levels. Groups talking about we need to have fundraisers and things like that. It tends to begin to sound like we are a traditional 501c3 nonprofit organization, that what we need is more money so we can do gooder and better things. I see it even within the committee that I've served on now for 3 years at the World Service level. Even in our name, resource and development tend to suggest something beyond the concept of self-support. And I'm not being critical of the committee. I'm just saying even our own name suggests something beyond focusing on self-support. So we need to always be vigilant in avoiding the tendency to think, God, if we could only raise more money. Because that's where I was when I was at the depth of my compulsive debting. If only I could get more money somehow, some way. And we tend to do that. Therefore, we allow ourselves to rationalize looking beyond our simple self-support. Ultimately, we grow as a fellowship, and therefore, we have more time, talent, and treasure, to use the term someone else used, which is the beautiful spiritual term. We have more time, talent, and treasure if we have a healthy fellowship. So my challenge to me is always, as a member of the fellowship, is to make sure that I am working the steps in my individual life and I'm living the traditions in my individual life. And if I'm doing that, and we are all doing that, we're working the steps and living the traditions in our individual recovery and at the group level, and ultimately, therefore, at the fellowship-wide level, this fellowship will grow, and we will have more time, talent, and treasure. The time, talent, and treasure necessary to hire that more staff for the General Service Office, to have more and better literature, to have the nicer meeting place, the need to have more meetings at the group level, and the ability to have newer and better public information campaigns. All of that comes from the growth, and the growth ultimately comes not from focusing on development of resources, but on improving our lives individually by living out our working the steps and our living of the traditions. Because when we do that individually, carry that to our groups, it then rises to the level of the fellowship. I love this fellowship. Y'all saved my life at a point at which I had concluded that I was worth more dead than alive and thought I should bring the former dead to come to pass. I love that the Granddaddy Fellowship, because it too saved my life when I was at a similar point in my life. I want these fellowships to thrive. And so I individually try to do my part within the fellowship, and that involves abiding by and living by the traditions in my individual life, at the group level, and at the fellowship level. And that particularly is true by reminding myself that I am self-sustaining through my own contributions, and we are too. I'm grateful to be a member of Debtors Anonymous. And again, thank you for your role in saving my life.
Thank you, Mike, for your inspiration and your sharing. At this time, this concludes our speaker series of today's call. I'm going to stop the recording.